Brothers and sisters, it's a delight to be here with you today. Every time Sister Bednar refers to that phone call from Elder Eyring as I was seated in my office, I have a flood of memories. It's a little bit surprising to receive a phone call from an apostle. And his question was, Elder Bednar, we're in the process of looking for a new president for Ricks College. Would you be interested? I said, sure, Elder Eyring. He said, good, you and your wife need to be in Salt Lake tomorrow. Now, that was the easy part. The hard part was when I called my wife. I said, Susan, I just got off the phone with Elder Henry B. Eyring. He and Elder Perry want to visit with you and me tomorrow in Salt Lake. Now, what you don't know is that I'm a tease, and I have teased my wife over many years. And so when I said to my wife, we have to be in Salt Lake tomorrow to visit with Elder Perry and Elder Eyring, her response was, right. It took me almost 15 minutes to convince her that I wasn't kidding. And after I finally was able to persuade her that I was telling the truth, she began to cry. And then we did have an experience that changed our life in being able to come here and serve with you. We count it a great blessing to be here. We love the experience of being at Ricks College because of you great students, the faculty, and all the other marvelous people who are here on this campus. We truly do love you. Now, it's been a year and a half that we've been here at Ricks College in the capacity as president. And in that time, I have participated in more than 50 devotional assemblies. Worshiping with students like you each week is a great blessing in my life. I love looking into your faces from the stand and appreciate your preparation to worship and your eagerness to learn. I have noted that many, if not most, of our devotional speakers at Ricks College begin their remarks by emphasizing that the youth in the church today are a chosen generation and the most faithful and valiant young people to ever live upon the earth. I have often wondered if you hear this description so often that it becomes overused and trite, and that its importance and deep implications may be overlooked. Today in my remarks, I am going to pay you the ultimate compliment. I will not spend much time telling you about who you are. Rather, I am going to treat you like who you are. Because I both love and trust you, I will strive to be direct without being overbearing. One of my primary objectives this afternoon is to cause you to think deeply and seriously about an important topic. I ask for your attention and prayers, and I invite the Spirit of the Holy Ghost to be with us during this brief time together. Today I want to discuss the relationship between the doctrine of Christ and your academic work at Ricks College. Simply stated, I want to discuss the doctrinal and spiritual reasons for being a diligent student. The following statement by Elder Richard L. Evans, a member of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles from 1953 to 1971, sets the stage for my message today. Quote, "You know, it is a wonderful thing to be faithful, but a much greater thing to be both faithful and competent. There is no particular virtue in being uninformed, certainly no virtue in ignorance. When young people can acquire the skills, the techniques, and the knowledge of these times, and along with it have a spiritual commitment and a solid faith and a cleanliness of life, there is nothing that you cannot achieve, nothing in righteousness or in reason." Unquote. As students, I fear we may sometimes falsely separate spiritual development and progress, what I will refer to today as faithfulness, from academic discipline and competence, what I will refer to today as diligence. Some students may even naively believe that irregular class attendance or a lesser level of academic performance is understandable and perhaps even excusable because they are conscientious in attending church meetings and stalwart in serving their fellow men. My purpose today is to admonish you to use your academic opportunities to the fullest and to avoid at all costs the academic path of least resistance. Specifically, I challenge you as a student at Ricks College to be diligent in both your spiritual and your academic pursuits, or as Elder Evans said, to be both faithful and competent. Please understand that when I use words such as diligent and competent, I am not simply talking about performing well on tests and getting good grades. A student can memorize wonderfully and perform well on exams and ultimately know very little or nothing at all. The academic path of least resistance to which I refer can be described in a number of ways. It is characterized by questions and statements such as the following. Is this class an easy A? Please tell me exactly what I have to do to get a good grade on this paper. Who is the easiest teacher in this department? I have calculated my total points for the semester, and I only have to get 75% on the final exam to keep my A in the class. You've done that, right? It is also characterized by a student who, during registration last semester, considered taking a rigorous and challenging course which promised both hard work and significant learning. The student's response to the demands of the class reveal a real poverty of perspective and is summarized in the following actual comment. Quote, are the tests really hard? I have a 3.9 thus far in my college career, and I will not take any class that might jeopardize my cumulative GPA. Unquote. My dear brothers and sisters, your college experience is not merely a game to be played with the ultimate winner determined by test scores and GPA. College is not just an experience to endure and get through with the false expectation that somehow, some way, we will magically be different on the day we graduate. Rather, a college experience is a period of development in one's life to be prized and prospered. Indeed, simply settling for getting through college is like buying an expensive car that has no engine. The car may look very good from the outside, but inside, the real power is missing. Today, as I refer to diligence and competence, I am talking about conscientiously and consistently and constantly learning how to learn. I am talking about preparing your mind for the important and weighty responsibilities that shortly will come to you and for which you must be ready. The mission of Ricks College has four important and interrelated parts. Number one, build testimonies of the restored gospel of Jesus Christ and encourage living its principles. Number two, provide a quality education for students of diverse interests and abilities. Number three, prepare students for further education and employment and for their roles as citizens and parents. And number four, maintain a wholesome academic, cultural, social, and spiritual environment. Now, please note that the first element of the mission statement, building testimonies of the restored gospel of Jesus Christ, relates to the faithfulness Elder Evans described. The second and third elements of the statement, which focus upon providing quality education and preparing students for future responsibilities, relate to the competence Elder Evans described. And the fourth element of the statement relates to the type of environment in which both faithfulness and competence can be cultivated. Excuse me. A disciplined and educated mind is a tool for reasoning and inquiring and evaluating and spiritually discerning. These abilities are not merely the requirements described in a course syllabus, Rather, they are essential skills for a spiritual and a happy and a productive life. More importantly, the combination of spiritual strength and mental capacity provide the means whereby we can act for ourselves rather than being acted upon. The men whom we sustain today as prophets, seers, and revelators are marvelous examples of both faithfulness and competence. Before his call to the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, Elder Russell M. Nelson was a world-renowned heart surgeon. Elder Dallin H. Oaks was a respected lawyer, judge, and constitutional scholar. And Elder Richard G. Scott was a highly skilled engineer who played a crucial role in the development of what we know today as the nuclear navy. The faith and diligence of these great men has helped them become powerful servants and special witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to refer to three scriptures now. We don't really have the time to look up these three, but you might want to jot down the scriptural references. In the scriptures, you'll note that the words faith and diligence are used together in the same verse 12 times. I want to draw your attention to three of those uses. The first one is in 1 Nephi chapter 16, verse 28. Here it's talking about the Liahona and how it operated. And it says the following, referring to the directional pointers. Remember that there were two in the Liahona? That these directional pointers did work according to the faith and diligence and heed which we did give unto them. Now in 1 Nephi chapter 17, verse 15, as Nephi is having an exchange with his brothers. In verse 15 it says that Nephi did strive to keep the commandments of the Lord, and I, meaning Nephi, did exhort my brethren to faithfulness and diligence. It's very interesting how those two things are paired together rather consistently. And the third one that I want to draw your attention to is in the Doctrine and Covenants, section 103, verse 36. Now listen again to the linkage between faithfulness and diligence. All victory and glory is brought to pass unto you through your diligence, faithfulness, and prayers of faith. Clearly, the integrated themes of faithfulness and diligence occur over and over in the scriptures. Now, I do want you to turn to the next verse. Please make sure you have your Doctrine and Covenants. Turn to section 4, and I want to pay particular attention to verse 2. Now, as you're turning there, may I simply say that this is where I really need you to be here. Your body can be here and your head can be someplace else. Please make sure both your body and your head are here for the next point that I want to emphasize. Verse 2. Therefore, O ye that embark in the service of God, see that ye serve him with all your heart, might, mind, and strength, that ye may stand blameless before God at the last day. Now, typically, we would interpret heart, might, mind, and strength as four separate but interrelated factors that are required in the service of God. May I suggest an additional interpretation of this scripture? Please consider the word might as descriptive of heart. In other words, a mighty heart is required for serving God. Now also consider the word strength as descriptive of the mind. Therefore, to effectively serve God, we must also have a strong mind, a mighty heart, and a strong mind. Perhaps then another way of interpreting this verse is as follows. O ye that embark in the service of God, see that ye serve him with a mighty heart and with a strong mind, that ye may stand blameless before God at the last day. The mighty heart equates to the faithfulness and spiritual strength described in the statement by Elder Evans. And the strong mind equates to competence achieved through intellectual diligence and discipline. Let me emphasize once again, as I talk about diligence and competence, I am not suggesting that one must be a Rhodes Scholar or a straight-A student or an apostle. Rather, diligence implies a tenacious persistence about, an engagement in, and a love for the process of learning. Brothers and sisters, you have a responsibility to yourself to become a diligent student as a means of personal preparation for the challenges and responsibilities that lie ahead. You have a responsibility to your family to become a diligent student as an expression of your appreciation for and gratitude to them. And most importantly, you have a responsibility to the Savior and to His church to become a diligent student because of the covenants you already have made or will yet make, particularly the covenants of sacrifice and consecration. I now want to relate the responsibility you and I have to be diligent in developing strong minds to the principles of sacrifice and consecration. Let me briefly describe each of these principles. The word sacrifice means to offer or surrender something valuable or precious. The prophet Joseph Smith provides the most clear and concise explanation of the principle of sacrifice in the Lectures on Faith. Quote, "For a man to lay down his all, his character and reputation, his honor and applause, his good name among men, his houses, his lands, his brothers and sisters, his wife and children, and even his own life also, requires more than mere belief or supposition that he is doing the will of God, but actual knowledge. Let us here observe that a religion that does not require the sacrifice of all things never has power sufficient to produce the faith necessary unto life and salvation. For from the first existence of man, the faith necessary unto the enjoyment of life and salvation never could be obtained without the sacrifice of all earthly things." Unquote. What is sacrifice? Giving up, yielding, offering. Elder Bruce R. McConkie has taught that sacrifice pertains only to mortality. In the eternal sense, there is really no such thing as sacrifice. Quote, "Sacrifice involves giving up the things of this world because of the promises of blessings to be gained in a better world. In the eternal perspective, there is no sacrifice in giving up all things, even including the laying down of one's life, if eternal life is gained through such a course." Unquote. In summary, then, the principle of sacrifice requires you and me to willingly offer anything and everything that we possess for the sake of the gospel of the Savior, including our character and reputation, our honor and applause, our good name among men, our houses, our lands, and even our families, all things including our very lives, if need be. Our pledge is, I will give all that I possess, and I am willing to die, if need be, for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sacrifice is motivated by faith and hope, and produces increased commitment and a desire to obey. President Spencer W. Kimball vividly describes how he, as a very young boy, began to learn about the principle of sacrifice. Quote, "When I was a little boy, about 4 years old, my father had gone to work on Monday morning, and my mother took my brothers and sisters and myself to see the bishop. You see, my mother had 11 children. There were about four or five that were not in school, so Monday morning we started out on the road with two buckets of eggs. I was like many other little boys, I could ask many questions, and I said, 'Where are we going, Ma?' And she said, 'We are going to the bishop's.' And I said, 'Why are we going to the bishop's?' Her answer was, 'These are tithing eggs.' Then I said, 'Ma, what is tithing?' And then she explained, every time we take 10 eggs out of the nest, we put one in a special bucket. The other 9 we take to the store to buy clothes and food. And so these eggs in this special bucket keep increasing until we have a bucket full. And then every week we take them to the bishop and he gives us a receipt showing that we have paid our tithing. Then when I was a little bigger boy, I used to put up hay. I used to drive the horses that were hitched to the wagon and tramp the hay down. And my older brothers pitched it on the wagon. And when we had gone to the field in the morning, my father would say, "Now boys, this is the 10th load this morning. This belongs to the Lord. You go up into the upper part where the hay is the best and get a big load, and then take it over to the big barn in which the bishop keeps the church hay. In that way, I learned how to pay tithing, so it isn't hard for me to obey this law." Unquote. We are all familiar with many other stories about farmers who offered their best grain, their best produce, and their best animals to the bishop as their tithing. And only their best was good enough for the Lord. I want to repeat that. Only their best was good enough for the Lord as a sacrificial offering. Tithing is but one application of the principle of sacrifice. Today, we do not typically pay our tithing with such donations in kind anymore. Rather, we readily use our cash to pay our tithes and offerings. And I believe most of us would willingly and gladly offer up anything that was required of us, including our snowboards, golf clubs, CD players, and even our year's supply of ramen noodles. Now, consecration, brothers and sisters, is related to but different from sacrifice. The word consecrate means to develop and dedicate to a sacred purpose. Develop and dedicate to a sacred purpose. Sacrifice is what I will offer, surrender, yield, or give up. Consecration, on the other hand, is to fully develop and dedicate to a sacred purpose. Please listen to the following description of the principle of consecration provided by President Ezra Taft Benson. Quote, "This law is that we consecrate our time, talents, strength, property, and money for the upbuilding of the kingdom of God on this earth and the establishment of Zion." Unquote. As we live the law of consecration, we are willing not only to offer anything and everything that we possess for the sake of the gospel, but we also promise to develop and devote our best selves, our time, talents, and strength to the building of the kingdom of God on the earth. Our pledge is, "I will give me and all that I can become, and I will live for the gospel of Jesus Christ." The principle of sacrifice is a lesser law preparation for the principle of consecration. Consecration includes and encompasses sacrifice and much, much more. We are not only willing to offer up our possessions, but we will become the best we can be and assist however possible in building the kingdom in righteous ways. We will not only die for the gospel, but we will develop ourselves and live for the gospel. True consecration is motivated by charity and produces an increased desire to serve. The best application of the principle of consecration that I can think of, remember, consecration developed and devoted to a sacred purpose. The best illustration I can think of is motherhood. I have, over the past 24 years, watched my wife, a very talented, capable, and competent woman, as she has developed and dedicated herself to the holy purposes of our home. Some would say she has sacrificed or given up much to become the heart of our home and to rear and nurture our children. She has not given up anything. Rather, she has been dedicated and consecrated to a holy purpose. She has developed herself and applied those skills as God has directed in the most important undertaking of a lifetime, which is the rearing and nurturing of children. Now, brothers and sisters, may I suggest that in these latter days, more is required of us as children of the covenant than our money and our substance. As the church spreads throughout the world in a rapidly changing and complex information age, may I suggest that we must consecrate unto the Lord both a faithful heart and a strong mind. A mind capable of learning and instruction and discipline and receiving revelation. And only our best is good enough for the Lord. It's not hay. It's not eggs. It's not our animals. It's our faithfulness and our competence as consecrated offerings unto the Lord. In my devotional address last year at the beginning of the fall semester, I indicated that attending Ricks College is both a privilege and a responsibility. Sacred tithing funds make it possible for you to be here, and the price you pay for tuition and fees is only a small percentage of the total cost of your educational experience at Ricks. Literally, the widow's mite, contributed from faithful church members around the world, makes it possible for you to be here. Now turn with me in the Book of Mormon to Omni. And here we want to read verse 26. And I had a verse that would be the theme and the title for what I'm attempting to communicate today. It's found in this verse. It's on page 142. Omni, verse 26. And now, my beloved brethren, I would that ye should come unto Christ, who is the Holy One of Israel, and partake of his salvation in the power of his redemption. Yea, come unto him and offer your whole souls as an offering unto him, and continue in fasting and praying, and endure to the end, and as the Lord liveth, ye will be saved. As a student at Ricks College, you have been provided with a stewardship opportunity and responsibility to develop a mighty heart and a strong mind, to become both faithful and competent, as Elder Evans described, in preparation for that day when you can offer your whole soul unto him. President Marion G. Romney has taught, quote, "Can we see how critical self-reliance becomes when looked upon as the prerequisite to service, when we also know service is what godhood is all about? Without self-reliance, one cannot exercise these innate desires to serve. How can we give if there is nothing there? Food for the hungry cannot come from empty shelves. Money to assist the needy cannot come from an empty purse. Support and understanding cannot come from the emotionally starved. Teaching cannot come from the unlearned. And most important of all, spiritual guidance cannot come from the spiritually weak." Unquote. My dear young brothers and sisters, what will you and I be prepared to offer unto God? Will you and I offer a mighty heart and a strong mind, indeed our whole soul, unto God? Please consider that during your time at Ricks, you are preparing here and now for the consecrated offering you will place upon the altar there and then. As I began my remarks today, I told you I would talk to you and treat you like who you are. Some thought perhaps that in addressing principles of sacrifice and consecration, that I might be shooting above your ability to comprehend. I don't believe that. You are indeed a special generation. You must be prepared to receive and understand the doctrine of Christ. There are doctrinal reasons for being a diligent student. that go far, far beyond a GPA and the grades that one receives. You live upon the earth at a remarkable and challenging time, and you must remember that of him unto whom much is given, much is required. Now is a season of preparation in your life. Please use your time at Rick's to become both faithful and competent, to develop a mighty heart and a strong mind. The scriptural warning directed to slothful servants who must be commanded in all things applies to both spiritual and schoolwork. As students at Rick's College, we should be anxiously engaged in the process of learning and do many things of our own free will. Remember the promise of Elder Evans, quote, "When young people can acquire the skills, the techniques, and the knowledge of these times, and along with it have a spiritual commitment and a solid faith and cleanliness of life, there is nothing that you cannot achieve, nothing in righteousness or in reason," unquote. Brothers and sisters, I pray that the Spirit of the Holy Ghost will carry this message to both your heart and to your mind. I testify that these principles are true, and I know that if you will consider and ponder this responsibility that you have while at Rick's College, indeed you will be magnified and blessed in your pursuits of these very worthy and worthwhile objectives. I know that God lives. I know and I testify, indeed I witness, that Jesus is the Christ. I know that the Holy Ghost is real. I testify that the fullness of the gospel has been restored to the earth in these latter days. I also know and testify that there are living apostles and prophets on the earth today who hold all of the priesthood keys to direct the affairs of the kingdom of God on the earth. And I know that you and I have a responsibility to develop mighty hearts and strong minds to assist in the building of that kingdom, of which I testify in the sacred name of Jesus Christ. Amen.